A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. At once, the one who had received the 5 talents went off and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents and saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you are a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
The Sunday before Thanksgiving is one of my very favorites. And I know that I join most of you in saying thanks be to God for all of the many blessings with which we have indeed been bestowed. The Bible says that we are to give thanks in all circumstances. Sometimes that's easier to do than in others, but surely we can all be thankful for something this Thanksgiving. Our health, a home, friends, food, a nice long nap after all of that tryptophan on Thursday. For these things we are indeed grateful and do now thank we all our God. And of course, with God's gifts comes our responsibility. For to whom much is given, much is required. And as we sang just a moment ago, because we've been given much, we too must give. That is clearly the moral of the story in today's scripture. The parable of the talents, told always here at the tail end of the Christian calendar, a not so subtle reminder that one day all of the dates on our own calendars will run out, and we too, like the servants in the story, will have to give an account for what was done and left undone. Admittedly, as the laughter was present in the reading, it is a somewhat severe story. There is judgment in the end. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and in the words of Billie Holiday, them that's got, get, and them that's not, lose. And we ask ourselves, where in this can we find the good news? And the answer is that it's definitely not good news, not for those who waste what has been given. It is not good news, but it is gospel truth. The truth is, you can lose out in life by simply not trying. That's why we say, use it or lose it, waste not, want not, take it or leave it, and perhaps most importantly for us always, if you don't vote, you can't complain. That's a hard lesson at the end of this story. But there are also hard lessons at the end of life. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance, but from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. That pretty well describes all of the gerrymandered political districts in America, created in large part because so many millions of people simply don't show up at the polls. We live in a free country, and for that we are grateful. But we must not only be thankful, we must also be responsible. We must remember what Ben Franklin's response to Elizabeth Willing Powell's question. Well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy? She asked. A republic, Franklin answered, if you can keep it. It's one thing to be given a talent. It's quite another to keep it. And the parable of the talents is a strong reminder that God's blessings are ours to keep and to use wisely and with a responsible sense of stewardship. Now, it might be said by some smart person in here at Broadway, and there are a lot of smart people here at Broadway, wait a minute. I don't like the whole premise of this parable. It sounds less like the gospel of Jesus and more like the gospel of wealth. An advert for extreme capitalism. I mean, why would one man have 8 talents to divvy up to his servants when 1 talent alone was worth about 20 years of work at the daily wage during the time? And he wanted more? Maybe the third servant was right in what he did, or rather did not do. He didn't earn that greedy master one more dime. That's good. And he stuck it to the man. That's even better. I can see how that might seem like the point of the parable to some people. Maybe the master isn't the benevolent, godlike figure most traditional interpretations take him to be. Maybe everything the third servant says about him is true. Maybe he is a harsh man, gathering where he doesn't scatter and reaping where he doesn't sow. There's a lot like that out there, you know. So I can see how burying the treasure can be seen as a kind of act of rebellious resistance. No way will this scrappy servant play any part in making this bully billionaire into a trillionaire. He uses the only power he has, the power of willful disuse and divestment. But still there is consequence. And no doubt criticism from even those most opposed to this master. I know that I am presuming a great deal of moral agency here, but I do have to ask, and think others would ask also, what good came out of the third servant's actions or inactions? What change came about? What difference did it make? Okay, so it didn't earn the master any more money, but did it do a thing to change the circumstances of all of those others weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth in the outer darkness? Was their lot improved? What would they say the servant should have done? The talent was in his hand. What did he do to give them a hand up or a hand out? These are existential questions. But they do, I think, demand an answer. What we do or do not do demands an answer. And there are consequences to every action and also every inaction. And neither fear nor cynicism is an excuse for not making good use of what has been given unto us. There will always be a judgment, and we will have to live with the consequences of what we've done or what we haven't done. Many of us, like the servant in the story, have been given responsibility over something or another in our lives for which we must, in the end, give an account. Oftentimes, as we enter into the adult world, it's someone else's money that we manage. I've spoken with several of you who struggle with the moral questions mammon often presents. How do we make good ethical decisions which honor the earth and its people, while also meeting the demands of our bosses and our bosses' bosses and their bosses, Wall Street? There is fear in almost every corporation and temptation to moral resignation in almost every situation. There is the temptation to either give in or just check out. But fear and resignation must be overcome by responsibility and obligation. Courage must win out over cynicism, action over inaction. The talent must be taken and used boldly and for the better. The story this morning is meant to remind us that we all have a burden of responsibility, something for which we will, in the end, be held accountable. Time is ticking, and we don't know how much time we have left. 5 talents worth, 2, only 1 more, we're really not sure. We're definitely not guaranteed. But what we do know is that the sand is running out of the hourglass. And when the time is up, we'll either have something to show for it all or we won't. And we need then to ask ourselves, what will we decide? What will we do? Will we make a change, make a difference? Will we bless our neighbor or our neighborhood or our world? What about our workers? What about those weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth in the outer darkness? Will we do anything for them? Will we make friends, as the book of Luke says, with the mammon that's been given us? Will we dare to make a new world with the talent that we have in our hands? The talent is ours, and so is the time. Whatever is left, let us learn to use it until we lose it. This is our existential reality. We cannot escape responsibility. Yesterday, I was invited to participate in a very moving service of worship at one of the synagogues here in town. There was a powerful poem in the front of the Jewish prayer book, which I took note of. No, I'm not always looking for sermon material on Saturdays, but sometimes it finds me. The poem is by a person named Alden Salvey, and it is titled, "Summoned to the World." Something you do will resonate throughout eternity. That is why you are here, to touch time with your soul, to create ripples in the flow of our days. You were summoned to the world by God's will. Holiness aspires the work of your hands. The divine requires the prayers of your heart. Create beauty. Spread love. Embody kindness. Do justice. Pursue peace, always knowing that the moment of your life summoned by eternity, the moment of your life with which the universe could without which the universe could not stand, is a secret in both heaven and also on earth. We have been summoned to this world. We have been summoned to this moment. May we act responsibly, knowing we shall also be summoned into the next. And when we are, may we enter into the joy of the one who for sure is the good and benevolent master, and hear those fateful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, for you have indeed been responsible." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, together all of God's people say, Amen.